Fans, it's great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball. We're joined by a very, very accomplished writer. His name is Luke Eplin, E-P-P-L-I-N, and he has appeared online in The Atlantic, The New Yorker, Slate, The Daily Beast, and The Paris Review Daily. He's born and raised in rural Illinois, and he now lives in Queens. But fans, he's got a book out. It's called Our Team. It's the epic story of four men and the World Series that changed baseball. It's the 1948 Cleveland Indians. And if you're a baseball historian and anyone asks you, hey, when was the last time the Indians won the World Series? It was 1948. So Luke talks about this season, and he does it through the eyes of four very important people: Satchel Paige, Larry Doby, Bill Veeck, and, of course, the great Hall of Famer, Bob Feller. So, Luke, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, so that's what the book is about. And tell me, how did you get involved with this story, which is one of the compelling stories of Major League Baseball? Anytime you mention Satchel Paige and Larry Doby in the same sentence, you're talking baseball.
Yeah, there's so many great stories here. I grew up near St. Louis. I'm a Cardinals fan, but my grandpa was a Browns fan. The St. Louis used to have two baseball teams, the St. Louis Cardinals, who were usually pretty good, and the St. Louis Browns, who were usually pretty terrible. My grandpa was unusual in that he loved the Browns. And I think that anybody who knows anything about the Browns knows that Bill Veeck was the last owner of the team. He pulled some of his most notorious stunts there, including bringing a little person to a plate, having fans manage from the grandstands, things like this. And so I grew up hearing these stories from my grandpa, and I really wanted to write about Bill Veeck. And so I initially thought that I was going to do something on the Browns, but when I started sort of researching his background, his earlier tenure as the owner of the Cleveland Indians, I saw these other names come to the forefront: Bob Feller, Satchel Paige, Larry Doby. And I thought that through these four people, two white and two black, you could tell sort of an alternate story of integration than the one that is normally told, which usually centers on Jackie Robinson. But this is a different story about integration that was happening more or less at the same time, and I think is equally as significant and meaningful.
Well, I agree with you. The book is called Our Team, the epic story of four men and the World Series that changed baseball. Luke Eplin is the author, E-P-P-L-I-N. What I like about it is the background. I love the background of Bob Feller being the schoolboy in Van Meter, Iowa. Satchel Paige pitching in the Dominican Republic at Trujillo's request and being glad that he could get out of there at some point. Veeck, of course, the Marine veteran who loses his leg and becomes the champion of the fans. And then Feller, who becomes this amazing businessman. But, you know, and Satchel Paige and Larry Doby, the quiet man, who comes up July 5th of 1947. We've done so many shows on it. And no one shakes his hand, and he gets a few at-bats. And then next thing you know, he's a center fielder on a World Series team in 1948. So I love the four ways you did it. Let's start with a little bit of the background of Doby and Paige. Let's start with those two.
Yeah, they're two very different individuals. Satchel Paige grew up in the deep south of Mobile, Alabama. He was born at the turn of the last century and at a time of sort of extreme Jim Crow and segregation. He was a dirt poor sort of person who worked himself up into not only a tremendous pitcher, but also a tremendous personality. He was somebody who could excite the crowd simply by walking to the mound. He had a sort of deadpan demeanor. He walked really slow, and when he got to the mound, he would throw faster than anybody had could see. He did all these things to excite the crowd, like hesitate while he pitched or sort of wind up his arm in certain different ways. He really knew how to not only dominate batters, but also how to make a name for himself and how to profit off of that name. He's somebody that during a time of the Great Depression, which was whenever he really came of age, a lot of that, the Negro Leagues were in very dire financial straits, but Satchel Paige was making as much money then as any white superstar of the time. He really turned himself into a one-man franchise who barnstormed across the country. Larry Doby is 17 years younger than Satchel Paige, so it's an entire generation removed from him. He grew up as a high school star in Paterson, New Jersey. He was so good in high school, four-star person, that the town convened a ceremony for him when he graduated, gave him a gold watch. Poems were recited about him. Music was written about him. His athletic feats, there was this sort of sense that this was a special sort of person. And he went right to the Negro Leagues, to the Newark Eagles. And there he led the Newark Eagles to a Negro League World Series championship in 1946. By the time 1947 comes along, he's 23 years old and really coming into his own. And so he is a prime candidate to follow Jackie Robinson into the major leagues.
Boy, Satchel Paige, now this, there's a backdrop game going on that's part of the story, which I love. August 20th of 1948, it's against the Chicago White Sox, and there are about 75,000 people in Old Municipal Stadium. To see Paige go against the White Sox on this August 20th date. That's the backdrop. But for Dobie, Dobie's entry into the major leagues was different than Jackie Robinson. Bill Veeck had a different integration strategy than Branch Rickey. So that part is how these two are intertwined. And Paige, as you point out, Paige is 42, and he's this big, big star. They would have games for the Kansas City Monarchs or whatever teams he played for, and they were just hoping he'd show up because he could be out doing a game somewhere else and making more money. But here he is in the American League, 42 years old, 1948. So go ahead, a little bit about Paige and Dobie and the integration strategy of Bill Veeck.
Yeah, so Larry Dobie comes into the major leagues in July of 1947. This is about 11 weeks after Jackie Robinson debuts on the Brooklyn Dodgers. Robinson got signed by the Dodgers in 1945. Branch Rickey at that time didn't believe that it was smart to sort of put Robinson directly into the major leagues. Instead, he sent them to the minors, where he played an entire year in Montreal, both to sort of acclimate himself to the baseball, but also to acclimate himself to sort of all-white dugouts, give sort of people a chance to get used to this new idea of integration and have all parties sort of have a little bit of space to work things out. And so Robinson had about 18 months between whenever he signed and whenever he actually debuted in the majors. He was also much older than Dobie. He was 28, and he was a nationally known star because he'd been a football player at UCLA that had garnered national attention. Larry Dobie was 23. He was 5 years younger than Robinson. Nobody knew who he was in white baseball. And Bill Veeck sort of had this idea that he wanted to get people who were good enough to be on the Indians right away. Besides, a lot of the Indians farm clubs were in the South, and so he did not want to send Dobie to one of those clubs. And so basically Dobie played a game for the Newark Eagles on July 4th, 1947, boarded a train, and the next day he was on the Indians. In other words, he journeyed literally overnight from the Negro Leagues to the major leagues, and the shock was tremendous. Teammates kind of snubbed him. He didn't get a lot of playing time. He was segregated on the road often. He couldn't stay in the same hotels. He couldn't go to the same restaurants. He was quite alone for this entire time, and he really wanted another black teammate on the Indians so that he could share the burden. What he got instead in 1948 was Satchel Paige. And Satchel Paige was, as I mentioned, much older than Larry Dobie, 17 years older, an entire generation of difference. And he was a superstar who was known across anywhere baseball was played. Even white fans that didn't know anything about the Negro Leagues had heard of Satchel Paige and knew of his name. So anytime he pitched, people were flocking just left and right, literally tearing out the turnstiles to try to see him pitch. He was attracting 70-plus thousand fans each time he started for the Indians, including on August 20th, 1948, when he set a nighttime attendance record for the major leagues and completely blanks the White Sox in a game that puts the Indians into first. Paige was a sensation. It was almost like an equivalent of almost like Beatlemania or something like that. People were just flocking to see him.
I love the story. I love the story. And Paige wins that game, as you said, 1-0 over the White Sox, and they set a record for the most fans ever at a night game. Now, Bob Feller, what I like about the book is, number one, the development of Feller through 1948 and later years. But you do a great job of the background of Feller as a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 17-year-old setting all sorts of strikeout records in the American League, and the role that his father played in preparing him. And then, of course, his military background as well. Feller saw a lot of serious action in World War II on the USS Alabama, which he's told us about on the show. So Feller and Page hook up. Feller's a kid, Page is the veteran, and they even hook up back then. And we're talking about Iowa. We just had that Field of Dreams game. So this is another good backdrop for your story. Very good images.
Yeah, Bob Feller, I think, has the most interesting origin story of any athlete that I've ever come across. He was somebody who grew up in rural Iowa on a farm. His father sensed a rare ability in him from a very early age. His father really was kind of the guiding force of bringing Feller into professional baseball. He practices with him every night, every morning, and then he clears off a piece of their farmland and builds his son his own field there. It is essentially the first Field of Dreams. And Bob Feller uses that field as a pre-adolescent and as an adolescent, as almost like an incubator where he pitches against all the great sort of players that are around Iowa and really fast-tracks his way into the majors. Through happenstance, he makes it onto the Indians at age 17, and in his very first start ever, he ties the American League record in strikeouts. Four starts later, he ties the Major League record in strikeouts. He's so popular that by the time he's 18, he's on the cover of Time magazine, and his graduation ceremony from high school is broadcast live from coast to coast. He is the quintessential sort of pitcher of the Depression era. He's really sort of shown as somebody that's proving that this sort of American dream is still alive and can be achieved. But what I also think is interesting in what you alluded to was that Bob Feller comes home from his rookie year as a 17-year-old back to Iowa, and Satchel Paige is barnstorming across the middle of the country. They decide, some promoters decide, it would be a good idea to put the 17-year-old Feller against the 30-year-old Paige. And it lives up to the hype. Both men go three innings. I think Feller strikes out eight, Page strikes out seven. And there's this sort of idea that these are the two best pitchers of their respective races and that these games can really draw tons and tons of fans. And so Feller and Page would go on to face each other annually for many years after that. They were sort of a barnstorming attraction in October that would tour the country pitching against each other.
Well, I would love to have seen that game. Love to have seen that game. Well, great story. Then they become teammates on the 1948 Cleveland Indians. With that, that's why I love the book, because you have such a good background and you build it up. They become teammates on this 1948 team that ends up in a playoff with the Boston Red Sox. And Lou Boudreau, the player manager, has this tremendous game, and the Indians win the playoff game with Gene Bearden pitching. And he was in the PCL. I think he played for the Seals at some point, but drinking brandy between each inning, and the Indians win and go to the World Series.
It's really an extraordinary team. Not only do you have Feller and Page, who were sort of the preeminent foes against each other in the barnstorming club, join forces on the Indians. You also have all these colorful personalities on the Indians, from Lou Boudreau, who took over as manager of the Indians at the age of 24 while he was still a shortstop, and then has this incredible season in 1948 that really propels the Indians to the championship. You have Gene Bearden, who was severely wounded in World War II to the extent where he could barely lift his leg above his waist, so he has to throw a knuckleball, and it turns out to be an unhittable pitch that year. He wins 20 games, and it's a tremendously exciting pennant race that the Indians barely squeak past the Red Sox and make it into the World Series against the Braves.
And they win. And as I say, the trivia question is, when was the last time the Cleveland Indians won a World Series? 1948, and this team ends up winning the World Series with Feller and Page and Dobie, and here is Bill Veeck just reaping the benefits of that. And Bill Veeck really changed the outlook of baseball, didn't he?
Yeah, Bill Veeck was an interesting character. His father was the president of the Chicago Cubs, so he kind of grew up around the game and learned a lot about it as a young man. He bought the Milwaukee Brewers when he was only in his 20s. The Brewers were still a minor league team by then, but Veeck really cut his teeth at that time. He goes to war and gets really injured in the leg, but then comes back and buys the Indians at the age of 32. What is most significant about Vec is that he was on the forefront of thinking about athletics as a sort of form of entertainment. He really thought that the competitive play on the field could be sort of counterbalanced with entertaining sideshows such as promotions, fireworks, sort of in-between sort of shenanigans, things like this. He thought that those things could coexist with the baseball game going on. So anytime you see sort of a T-shirt cannon or mascots or anything like this at contemporary games, that really kind of sprung from the mind of Bill Vec. He is sort of the father of the modern stadium experience as we know it now. And he was really cultivating all that sort of stuff on the Indians. He really built up the roster. He integrated the team, but he was also doing crazy stunts with fireworks and bands and promotions and all these sorts of things. He was an outsized character.
Well, a great story. And of course, Bill Vec's father was the newspaperman who became the president of the Chicago Cubs. And he's proposed interleague play back in the 1933, and the American League told him to get lost. They didn't need him. And he also started Ladies' Day back then as well. But the book is really a lot of fun. It really is. You're a good writer. It's called Our Team, the Epic Story of Four Men in the World Series That Changed Baseball. You can get it at all the local outlets. It's published by Flatiron Books. David up at the Book Tree in Montclair has got it. In fact, David was the one who sent it to me. And I love reading it. So, Lou, congratulations. This is a good one.
Thanks, Marty. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and how are the sales going?
Oh, great! It's gone into another edition, and I think that the response has been overwhelmingly positive. I'm so happy to hear it.
Well, I've learned a lot from reading it, and believe me, I've read a lot of books in my time and a lot of history of baseball, and I've learned a lot from the way you've put this together. Very interesting. So, congratulations, and we'll have you back on again. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, that is Luke Eplin, Eplin, Our Team, the Epic Story of Four Men in the World Series That Changed Baseball. Very well done book. All right, more coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5 FM, the sports leader.